Welcome back, everybody, to Ingles and Ian, a Cowboys Ride for Free podcast. And it is officially fall and conference play is starting. It's the best time of year. How you doing, Ian, besides the COVID?
I'm doing all right. Little stuffy, but it's been good. Just been hanging out at home. I'm really excited for just the full slate of football coming up. I just get to watch it all. Don't have to worry about, you know, like tailgating or anything. Just focus on all the games at home.
So you're going to have a full breakdown of this game on Monday, like notes galore, just like full on film study.
I don't know about that, but I'll, I will have stuff. I know that.
Yeah. So let's get right into it. We got K-State coming up, and this is one of my all-time favorite rivalries in the Big 12 because it's like, you know, I hate Texas, I hate OU, I hate Iowa State, but like K-State is that friendly rivalry because like for a long time it was like it seemed like whoever was at home won, right? And I've you know, I've had a lot of K-State friends, and when we play each other, it's like, ah, oh, good game, you know, like it's always that friendly rivalry. Like, you know, I think it's great. And you know, they always have an interesting offense. Maybe not so much this year, but neither is ours.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you – can you name a team that has a like a beef with Kansas State? I don't think you can. Maybe Kansas?
But like how Kansas, like how do you hate the school of Bill Snyder?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Kansas State is one of those just like respectful schools to where you're just like, oh, it doesn't matter. We're having a good time. Like it's Kansas State. Like I don't like win or lose, I'm not going to be mad.
Right. No. Yeah. I mean, and speaking of, I don't know how we're -6 in this game. That feels stupid. But I mean, they're not great either. Like I mean, they're running at a 72% clip for runs. Like this might be the fastest game in recorded history with as much as Oklahoma State has to run the ball. And I mean, Gundy said something today or yesterday that was really disconcerting where he's like, yeah, I don't know when we're going to get people back. It sounded like we're screwed for the rest of the season when it comes to our wide receiving core.
Man, if that's the case, that's just terrible. Because like that's tough for Spencer not having either Tay or my dog. Okay. My dogs are barking. I should have gone upstairs, but I decided not to. Hold on. Okay, we're good.
Hey, we've worked from home enough to understand the occasional dog bark.
Yeah. I should have just gone upstairs, but I think you would have heard them anyway.
Probably. But it's cool.
Oklahoma State lost Trey Sterling for the season, which is just a massive blow to the defense. Mm-hmm. I don't think we've seen an Oklahoma State team with this many injuries. And just it's all happened so fast, and yet here they are still undefeated.
Yeah, finding ways to win.
Finding ways to win.
And it feels like it's been like 2 years now, like that we've had a lot of injuries.
Yeah, I think Lanson Anderson suffered a broken foot during the warmups of the Missouri State game. I think Tay Martin might come back. I have no like source on this, but if he was I guess he didn't travel to Boise. Something tells me he'll be okay. And then it looks like there's no return date on Bray. And then Bryson Green has a hand injury. So it's literally Rashad Owens. And then Kale Cavanis, who was Mr. Hero last week with the longest reception of the game. It's just tough.
Yeah, pretty soon we're not going to have someone to return the ball if we're not careful.
Yeah, you better keep Presley just like on ice.
Yeah, bubble wrap him when he's on the sideline, just like
bubble wrap him. Do it. Do anything.
Gundy's like, if anyone gets within 10 feet of this guy, I'm kicking your butt.
Yep, 100%. 100%. But I do agree. I think the line is a little too big. I think it did change to 5.5. At least that's what it's saying on a tally site. So,
yeah, I mean, that when I looked yesterday, it was -6. So, but I mean, I am hammering the under on this one. It's like 46. There's no way. There's no way they're hitting 46.
Unless I have a weird feeling about this game, and I kind of did with the Boise State game, where it's going to be a shootout, but I definitely don't see that happening. Because that's just sometimes like you bet something and it's like, oh, this is an easy bet, and then it just flips on a dime opposite way. That could happen. I don't think it will. I'm just saying it could.
I mean, one of the things that might be positive is that, you know, this will be a full week of practice where Spencer has the same receiving core. So, like, you know, we had to pull in walk-ons and stuff last game against Boise. So maybe working with those guys for a full week, because there's no way we're not playing without, you know, some walk-ons right now because we're so depleted. We might even be you don't pull a redshirt anymore, but maybe some of those guys who are going to redshirt get a game or two in. Mm-hmm. Man, that rule change is one of the biggest ones I've seen in college football, was when they changed the redshirt rule.
Well, it's so convenient. They just play four games, and teams get hurt pretty easily.
Yeah.
But it's crazy. But also, I don't know if you saw this. Barry Trammell from the Oklahoman has Kansas State as his number one team in the Big 12 right now.
I mean, they got a stat. Good.
I think that makes sense to me, because I think they've been – probably the most complete team with the best resume as well. Because the other undefeated teams, I mean, Kansas State played Southern Illinois, Stanford, and
Nevada, who's a pretty good team.
I think Stanford and Nevada are big wins.
Stanford has beat number 15 USC and Vandy. So if you want to sort of do the causation there, like, you know, Stanford seems to be a good team. Their only loss is to K-State, and they've already beat the ranked USC. So that's a really good start. But they're doing it in a weird way, because they're doing that, like, two quarterback systems, and they're just running everywhere. Like, Deuce Vaughn's got 62 attempts already on the year for 371 yards.
Well, Deuce Vaughn is probably the best running back not named Breece Hall in the Big 12. He had a phenomenal year last year, 123 attempts, 642 yards. I think he might have sat out a couple of games, but he's had three straight games of 120 yards. So he's had 124 against Stanford, 120 against Southern Illinois, and 127 against Nevada. And he's got five touchdowns of the year. So, yeah, he's going to be the bell cow at the sophomore running back at 5'6", 172 pounds. And he's just been killing it. Now, I think this might be the toughest defense he faces all season. But I still think he's going to get about 100 yards on the game.
Probably. But if we can keep, you know, if he's 100 yards and the quarterbacks don't do a whole lot, that's fine. You know, it's kind of like the Bedlam with Adrian Peterson. I think it was 02. Like, he ran for like 150-something yards, but it was all in between the 20s. You know, and OSU won that one pretty big. 38-28, I think, was the score there. So, I mean, it's where he gets his yardage. If he's, you know, getting big chunk plays or third down or whatever, that's a really different compared to, you know, just a bunch of yards inside the, you know, 40s or 30s.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good matchup. You have to contain one of the elements of offense. I think you definitely have to go with containing probably the quarterback, because I think that's probably your best option with a quarterback that they've already faced in Will Howard, who played against them last year when Skylar Thompson was hurt, but let's see how much he has improved.
I mean, if you look at it, they're splitting reps pretty evenly. I mean, Will Howard has a bit more, but Skylar Thompson has more yards. So Will Howard has 27 attempts on the year, and Thompson has 18. So Chris Kleiman is really doing a dual quarterback thing.
Well, Thompson is hurt.
Did he get hurt? I didn't see that.
Thompson was hurt against Southern Illinois. So Will Howard has been starting. He had a Will Howard threw 10 passes and carried 12 times. So he was rushing more than he was running. So it looks like it's going to be a pretty run-heavy team.
Right. But even then, like, if you look at their rushing stats, he's not a great runner. He's not – he's not able to do it like Sanders can do. You know, I think he's averaging like 3 yards a clip. So it's not like you got to really contain, you know. I mean, he's not going to be bouncing out the outside and breaking it for 30 unless our defense just laps, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's still going to be really interesting. See, last year he averaged 4.7 yards per carry. This year he has a 3.3 on 20 attempts. Same amount of touchdowns, three touchdowns each in both seasons. Mm. But I still think it's going to be tough because it looks like it's going to be a Big Ten game for sure.
It's not going to look that good. Maybe old school Big Ten, you know, maybe Wisconsin, Iowa Big Ten, but Iowa's got a good offense. Say
maybe like Penn State, Wisconsin this year. Like
that was a grind fest. Yeah.
I think this is going to be a drag out, just gritty game. That's what it's looking like.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see how Kleiman does this year. Like, this is his third year in the Big 12. You know, four-time FCS champion at North Dakota State. And, you know, I thought it was a great hire when they hired him, mainly because, one, he's obviously a very good football coach. But also, I think North Dakota is probably as hard, if not harder, to recruit to than Manhattan. So I think he can sell that culture. So I'm really interested to see how he does this year. So maybe it's one of those things where, you know, this is the start of the ascendancy for K-State as OU and Texas are going out the door.
Yeah. I like what Chris Kleiman has done, especially beating OU in his first 2 years there. Now Kansas State's a hard place to win. You're playing in the middle of Kansas and you got to go get the gritty guys, the guys that really want it. You got to get like the Jordy Nelsons of the world, the Colin Kleins, and just try to make something with those three stars, much like Oklahoma State. And it's, he's doing as good of a job as he can, I think.
Right. Well, and the other issue is, you know, they're a lot of their recruiting base is probably from around Nebraska. And like, you know, if you're fighting Nebraska for a kid, are they going to want to go to the Big Ten or the Big 12? You know, because they're not too far south of the border. And, you know, if you go south into Oklahoma, you're going against Oklahoma State and OU. Then Texas, you're fighting everybody. So, I mean, that's a really hard place to get really good talent to go to. Much less, and plus you just got to fight everybody. And so, and maybe it's one of those things where, since Kleiman is used to dealing with, I don't want to say less talented because he's, you know, he had Carson Wentz, who's obviously Carson Wentz. And, but maybe it's because he's used to dealing with people who are probably generally smaller than a lot of Power Five teams, that maybe it's a really good fit because he's like, okay, I know how to scheme this well enough to overcome it.
And Kansas State is potentially one of those teams that can get a lot of transfers. Because yes. I think that's a place where you can say, hey, like, come our way and we'll help you out with like your draft stock and everything. Because I mean, they produce really good linemen.
Yeah, they do. I mean, yeah, that's a good point. You know, it's the wild, wild west, the transfer portal. And, you know, that's something I don't think about is just how quickly people can transfer now. Like someone can go from Ohio State to Kansas State like that, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So do we want to go ahead and get our score prediction in for this game before we talk about the rest of the Big 12?
Sure. Yeah. So like I said, definitely the under, and I'm feeling 21-18 Oklahoma State. And less than 100 passing yards for Spencer Sanders.
I have 21-17. Let me just change that real quick. yeah, I got the under as well.
Okay,
I feel like I need to change my prediction now because you made it 21-18.
Great minds think alike, I guess.
Yeah. Let me do some math. I need to do some math because if I make it 24-21, that's under 46.5. So that sounds about right. You know what? Will they get 24? Because I don't think they'll get. Whenever they get the field goal range, I feel like it hasn't been working. So.
Yeah, maybe. I just the thing about it is it's going to be a fast game because Kansas State might throw it 10 times. We might throw it 10 times. I mean, there might be 20, 30 pass attempts in the entire game. That clock's just going to be rolling all game.
Yeah, it's going to be a triple option style game. Yeah, I'm going to go with 21-14.
Yeah, we got all those running backs. Let's just go to the wishbone. Let's just go full wishbone.
Oh, wait. That would be the spread. Shoot. I just realized if I go 21-14, that's the Oklahoma State spread. So that's probably the way it would go, but that I might as well just stick with that, right? 21-17. I'm going to just go with that because it's going to be that type of game.
Yeah, it really is. It's going to be ugly. I'm going to watch every second of it. And I just hope it's one of those games where we get out to like a 10-point lead and just stays there. Like, because we shut down Boise State last game in the second half. I think they had like 70 yards in the second half or something ungodly low. It was under 100, which is incredible.
Winning by 10 points would be actually like impressive for Oklahoma State. Because that'd be the biggest win total they've had all year.
I'm not saying like they win by 10, just, you know, one of those things where like, even if they score like a touchdown with a minute to go, it's not a big deal. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. That, and that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm saying like, if they win by 10, if it's like 27-17, I'm going to feel really good about that because right now Kansas State's the 25th ranked team in the nation. So that would be huge.
So another
thing.
Oh, go ahead.
That made me have a little more confidence, I think, headed into what's going to be a gauntlet of a schedule.
Mm-hmm. So one thing I am curious about to see if this could be, and this is maybe one reason the line is what it is. This could be a trap game for Kansas State because they got OU going to Manhattan next weekend. So I could easily see them looking ahead because we don't look that impressive. Looking ahead to, you know, OU coming into town and like maybe, I mean, that could explain some of the line right there.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense, but wouldn't that be a trap game for Oklahoma too? Well, I mean, I guess Kansas State is the trap game for Oklahoma.
Well, yeah. I mean, that could be.
They have to play Texas the week after.
Yeah. I mean, they could both be trap games. I'm saying like we could be the trap game for Kansas State. Because OU's going into Manhattan, you know that place will be rocking, man.
Yeah, no, it'll be insane for sure. I think OU fans might make the trip. It's like, okay, we're not losing to Kansas State again. I think they're gonna buy up all the tickets.
So I will say that. I mean, granted, you know, there's a lot of stuff about the 10-year anniversary of, 2011 and all that stuff. The K-State OSU game in 2011 is one of my all-time favorite games I've ever watched. It was super high scoring. It was like 52-47. Oklahoma
was
State.
Was that the Kirk Herbstreit earthquake game?
I don't remember if that was that one, but like I remember exactly where I was when I watched it. Like I was with some of my friends, my curling friends from when I used to curl, and we were at the Buffalo Wild Wings in Edmond and just like having fun, drinking. And it was just back and forth the entire game. It was like 1,100 yards of total offense.
So, you know, I think, you know what I was watching? I was watching that LSU-Alabama game, that game of the century that was like 9-6. That's what I was watching.
Man.
Because that game was insane too. You had both games going at the same time, direct opposite of each other.
Well, it's one reason we went to Buffalo is so we could watch both games.
Both games, yeah, that's smart.
that was easily like when I look back at Oklahoma State games, they're like that Kansas State game was so much fun.
Yeah, it's because that's they got Colin Klein in there for Kansas State. Like that Kansas State was not. Was really good.
I mean, they were ranked pretty high too. I don't remember what it was when they rolled in, but it was pretty sure
17.
Yeah, I was about to say mid teens. Yeah, so it was like like 3-17 at night. And it was so much fun.
Yeah, I bet that would have been a blast to go to.
Oh, sure.
Heck of a game.
So before we move on, let's hear from our sponsors. So it's not as jarring as every other time I've tried to do this ad roll. And we're back. So you know what else happened like this week? It's the anniversary of the Gundy rant.
Yes. The 14-year anniversary.
Yesterday or Tuesday. I will maintain that especially if you look at the numbers before transfers and like everybody shift, basically before everyone's just started going to like five schools, if you're a really big recruit, like that's what changed Oklahoma State's trajectory for probably 10 years. Because every year after that, like he was like 4 wins, 5 wins, 7 wins that year. Then it's like 8-9, then 10-11, like in that range for a long time. I mean, that is one of the craziest. And I even remember exactly where I was when that happened.
Where were you?
I was in, so I used to play a lot of poker at the Paradise Casino that's just south of Ponca City. Okay. And I was just sitting there playing cards, and they had like the press conference after the game on, and the sound was off. And I was like, what's going on? Then when I get back to my apartment and turn on Sports Center to like replay it, I'm like, holy crap, he just went off on people.
And was that a game that they won?
I don't remember, but I do I think what happened is the article came out I think the day of the game, because like Bobby Reed was a really big recruit at the time. Like he was a top 100 in Texas, especially at the time. We didn't get a lot of recruits at all, so it was like, oh, big deal. And he was, you know, dual threat, and like he has had a really hard time, and someone like said that he like called his mom crying because he's having a hard time. And I'm like, yeah, he's 18, he's supposed to be like the savior. You know, I don't remember if he's that. I thought he was a freshman, but maybe not. But and so Gundy just tore into him and like basically like this didn't happen, and you know we didn't switch quarterbacks in the middle because he pulled them in the middle of the game, and he's like, that's Woods didn't do that, we didn't do that because he threatened to transfer. And so there was just a lot of lots of stuff there.
I think Mike Leach's press conference was pretty funny as well. I don't have the audio of that, but somebody put it out there. It might have been Eddie Radosovic, but he was like, hey, this press conference was pretty funny too. And that was the game they won 49-45, Oklahoma State did, over Tech.
Man, Leach is the best. Like his Twitter account is the absolute best. It is hilarious.
It is quite hysterical. I used to have notifications on for him, and then he had that one like really bad meme, and I was like, I'm gonna hold off for a minute. I'm gonna turn my notifications back on for him.
I haven't seen that one.
Mississippi State's got a pretty big game too.
Who are they tangling with?
They got LSU at home.
Ooh, yeah, that'll be.
I kind of like that. Game's at 11 o'clock. I kind of like Mississippi State in that one.
Yeah, that'll be. Yeah, because LSU is like, it's not often you see a team fall this quickly from a national title, but they won like what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, but that team was just like, they were just built different, man. Because that was just a team filled with dudes.
Yeah, just you'd expect them to be able to like still recruit, but I don't know. Maybe Edo was just like fire, or, you know, lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. I mean, it was just an incredible team with just the amount of talent that they had. And then the coordinators that he had. Joe Brady's now the offensive coordinator at Carolina, the Panthers, and then Dave Arnott is the head coach at Baylor. Like, they
– Right. And that is something that, like, a lot of people don't realize. It's like, yeah, those coordinators matter. And the fact that – do what?
I was going to say, and then they were running Bo Pelini, and then just all heck broke loose down there. He might get fired if they don't pick it up soon.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's going to need to.
It is impressive. I mean, yeah, we're starting to see the slowdown, but how well Oklahoma State's offense has done with as many offensive coordinators as we've had the last 15 years.
Yeah, because OSU's gone through so many.
Right, we had Yursick for five, but a lot of guys were here for 1 or 2 years, and then there was a guy, I don't remember his name, who went back to the Northeast.
Oh, Sean something.
Yeah, now we got
the guy that went to like Princeton afterward, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was so good, no one remembers him.
He was supposed to be like the guy, and then it was like, oh, I'm going to Princeton. You're like,
well, his family, from what I remember, his wife refused to move to Oklahoma, so he took a job back home.
I gotta correct myself. He went to Rutgers. He's the OC and quarterbacks coach there. Rutgers has a pretty big game. They got Michigan. Both teams were 3-0.
Yeah, and Rutgers is looking decent, you know. And I'm like,
yeah,
especially with you know, Michigan under Harbaugh, I'm just like, okay, what game are they just going to like shoot themselves in the foot? Like every Michigan game I watch, I'm like, all right, is this the game where they just implode on themselves?
Yeah, I think that's definitely plausible, because at some point they will fall. Because I think Michigan will beat Rutgers, and then at some point, I really like Penn State this year.
They look really good.
I think Michigan will lose. I think they'll lose 3 games, because I think Michigan State might be – I think Michigan State's going to be really good as well. So next week they have Wisconsin. So depending on how they do against Notre Dame, I think Michigan, they could easily lose 4 games.
Yeah, I mean, you want to talk about big games, Notre Dame, Wisconsin, that's going to have huge ramifications for the Big Ten and the college football playoff in general. You know, that's going to be huge, because if Wisconsin wins, they're going to be what, the Big Ten East? It's East and West in the Big Ten, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can remember the big 1G. So, I mean, they should do really well, and that'll set up a big tilt between them and Iowa later in the season. And then, you know, we got Arkansas and A&M. That's a big game for SEC and you know, college football playoff ramifications, because Arkansas is looking like a legitimate team again for the first time in a very, very long time.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I probably back the brakes up on that. I kind of think they beat A&M, but that's just more because I think A&M is just hurt. But also back to Wisconsin. They got to take on Army this year.
I saw something they're paying Army. Somebody's paying Army not to play them next year.
I don't know. Do you blame them? I don't think so.
Vols pay Army $500,000 to not play them in 2022. There you go, bro. Tennessee. That's how bad. That's just a bad look. Come on.
I think they knew that they would lose that game 100%. So like, no, we got it. We got to get out of this. We got to get out of this. Here, we'll give you go away money.
Is that so the hypo influence? Like, hey, we'll pay you anyway. You don't have to play us. You can schedule somebody else.
I don't know. I do not know, but Oklahoma's got a pretty tough game as well. I think West Virginia.
That spread is bigger than it should be, I think. It's like 14.5, I think.
Yeah. Like, but I think that they're anticipating that OU is going to finally
hit their show stride. Up. Yeah. Yeah. I'd be hearing, like, I think I picked when I was picking on Tally, it was like, I think I picked the over and West Virginia to cover because the over was pretty low. It was like 54.
Yeah, that sounds like a game that would hit the over because I West Virginia's got a pretty solid offense as well with Jared Doge, who's a veteran quarterback. Another game, the Battle of the Iron Skillet and then SMU TCU both going on at 11. Oh man, I think there's going to be a lot of points on those two games, and I think I like the underdogs with the spreads, but I think the favorites come out on top. So pick SMU, Texas Tech with the points. Pick TCU and Texas to win.
Thank you.
Yeah. Of course, it could just go completely wrong. I can think SMU, they got a couple tricks up their sleeve. I like what Sonny Dykes is doing. Mm-hmm. And Texas Tech always keeps it close with Texas, so. Maybe they can pull something out there.
You know, and especially with – and I think you're going to see sort of a rise of SMU here soon, and you're starting to see it now because, you know, Dallas puts out a lot of kids, right? A lot of really talented kids who maybe flame out at a big school. And, you know, their coach can be like, hey, we can compete. Look at what Cincy's doing, you know. Mm-hmm. North Dakota State's put out 2 first-round draft picks at quarterback in the last 5 years. Come home and play for 2 years. And you can start right away. You know, and they're going to be juniors and seniors. And I think you're going to see this really big power struggle between younger, talented teams. Because, you know, if you're a younger, talented quarterback, you're jumping after your junior year. Maybe even your sophomore year. Because you don't want to get hurt and lose all that money. I think we're going to see very much what we saw in basketball where, you know, the one and dones versus the olds, you know, like, especially like when Duke and Butler went back to back, you know, in the NCAA tournament. I think you're going to see a lot of that starting because, you know, with the red shirt rule, I mean, you can play a third of a season with that was and still red shirt and then be a, you know, a senior at 22, 23, and that's a big difference. I know I've said it before, but that's a big difference in the human body between 20 and 23 years old.
Well, I think the guys they got now, it's you know, they got Grant Calcaterra at the tight end position and Tanner Mordecai, both former OU guys, so they know kind of how to run that type of offense. It's so helpful to have those types of players that have been through a system and can help y'all and can help them out.
Right. For sure. I mean, that is, yeah, it's going to be big. And, you know, a lot of those guys that flame out because they were like, they could never break through at a, you know, a big school like Florida or A&M or, you know, Ohio State. Yeah. They could never get, you know, past the third on the depth chart, but third of the depth chart at Alabama is pretty good at pretty much every other school in the country.
Well, think about Tanner Mordecai for a sec. He had to sit behind, I think, Kyler, Jalen, and Rattler.
Yeah, that's
at some point, you used to be like, okay, yeah, I got to go somewhere else to prove that I am as talented as I am.
Right. And I also wonder, like, if it's a system fit, too. Like, maybe Riley's system just doesn't fit him. Because you see that all the time where, especially quarterbacks, will kind of be, you know, be bad, and then they go into a system that fits them better, and all of a sudden they're really good. Or, you know, if you're like Darnold, you leave New York, and all of a sudden you're not with the Jets, and you look pretty good in Carolina.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think it's wild. So, I mean, what else do we have this week in the world of college football?
So one thing, I'm going to jump back to the A&M Arkansas game, because this has been a gripe that's been growing with me for years, and it just got cemented with that Auburn-Penn State game, is I'm tired of these big games being played at neutral sites. College football is great because it's played at college campuses, and, you know, it's really cool for, like, bowl games. That's really fun to watch, but, like, seeing that whiteout at Penn State, even though I don't really like Penn State, like, that was just, that looks so, it was like, and that's just makes college football amazing. It's just like that, just, you know, the student body's rocking, the alums are in, it's loud, there's 100,000 people, it's not split 50-50, you know, get all the pageantry. Like, I'm not saying do away with them, but, like, so many big games, especially early in the season, or, like, you know, Clemson, Georgia was here in Charlotte. You know, it seems like every other year Bama's opening in Dallas, or, like, they alternate between Dallas and New Orleans to where they open the game, you know, open the season. Like, you know, maybe Bama wouldn't win so much if a lot of their big games, especially early in the season, weren't on neutral fields. You know, maybe if they had to go into, I don't know, I can't think of who they played recently, but if they had to go to Norman, right, instead of playing them in Dallas, if they played them in Norman, that's a much more hostile environment.
Yeah, but I don't think that even matters, because they still play at all other SEC campuses, get booed, and still put up 40 burgers. I don't think it really matters for that case. I think the A&M Arkansas game, that is, it's at Jerry World. I think Jerry, you know, pays both teams massive gobs of money because he wants to see Arkansas play at his house.
I mean, yeah, I get that. I'm just saying, I think it's gotten too much. You know, like, don't, like, I think it's just too happening too often that there's all these neutral site games.
I don't think, like, honestly, I don't think this game is any different than OU Texas when it comes to just, like, location. They're both in conference, both old, like, South West conference rivals. So
yes, I mean, I wasn't picking on that game in particular. I'm just saying the neutral sites are happening too much. And OU Texas has been there for how long?
OU Texas has been there for at least like
40, 50,
100 years.
Yeah, it's so, but even going to the Cotton Bowl is its own tradition, right? Like, I mean, that's its own tradition in and of itself. So I just think it would be a lot harder for, like, A&M if they had to go to Fayetteville. Right.
It'd be harder for Arkansas to go to College Station too.
Right. I think that's what really makes college football great, is, like, being on campus. And so I want to see it taper down. Like, not, I mean, yeah. I'm not, like, opposed to them, just not as many.
I'm okay with, well, they got, Notre Dame, Wisconsin's Soldier Field.
Right.
Like, Notre Dame usually has that weird game at where they play at some random place. They played at the Alamo Dome 1 year against, like, Army. You're like, what are you doing there?
Right.
But I think, I don't know, I think the Soldier Field game is kind of fun. Because that's like their Shamrock Series game. It's fun when they do it in, like, different spots. I don't know if, like, every year is a great idea, but
right.
I don't mind that game.
I
think that's,
yeah.
I think it's cool when they go to, like, pro stadiums, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, but there's not any, like, branding on it. Cause, like, there's, like, the Cowboys Classic, right? Arlington, where this year they had Kansas State and Stanford. There's the Chick-fil-A Peach kickoff game. I don't mind that. And now we got that Duke's Mayo game. Okay. Like that's probably that's probably where we should cross the line. Probably just just two neutral games a week. I'm okay with that.
Well,
this week it's two neutral games as well.
And I would guess that part of it is a lot of these big sponsors are seeing that because of the college football playoff and the New Year's Six games and stuff, that the bowl, like the bigger bowl games, are getting really devalued.
Mm-hmm.
Because it used to be, the Cotton, when it's not a New Year's Six, I mean, it's still kind of a big deal, but when it's not a New Year's Six, it's not nearly as big deal. Holiday Bowl used to be a pretty big deal. There's a bunch of bowls that used to be bigger deals, but now that, like, people, because they're not playing in the top 10 bowls, they're skipping and going to the pros.
No, I think the Cotton Bowl is a bigger deal. Because
it's a bigger deal, right? I guess it is always a New Year's Six game. It didn't used to always be a New Year's Six game.
Because that was the game. Fox had that game, and it was left out of like the BCS stuff. So now that ESPN got the rights to it, that game's become more elevated. But I agree with you with, the Sun Bowl, Gator Bowl, Holiday Bowl.
How many Florida Gators skipped the bowl game last year? Like the entire receiving core?
Yeah, and like most of the defense. And that's what I think the hype with OU was, because they took on Kyle Trask and some bozos and beat them by 30, and now they're expecting that with every game.
Well, to be fair, OU got some really big-time transfers on defense, which don't seem to be helping too much.
Yeah, and it feels like we've been duped. A little bit. And I fully expect this to backfire on me, and they're about to go beat West Virginia by like 47-17, something like that. And just make me look stupid. But for now, they don't look that great.
All right. Well, let's start wrapping this up. So as is tradition on Thursdays, everyone's favorite segment, our tracks that slap. What do you got for me today, buddy?
I was thinking about it, and I'm kind of going to go off the beaten path. I found this song the other day. I didn't know this was by Billie Eilish, but Ocean Eyes. I don't know. That song was just like, has been in my head recently. I didn't realize that was Billie Eilish. I don't know where I heard it from one day. I was just like, oh, that sounds pretty good. I'll go look it up. I'm like, Billie Eilish made this? But it's like a 5-year-old song, Ocean Eyes by Billie Eilish.
Nice, nice. So I'm going to pull a U and pick two because it is fall. And if you spend any time on the internet, you know, it is now officially spooky season. So if this is like your time of year, I got Goth Girls by MC Frontalot. It's a nerdcore ode to Goth Girls. If you like nerd rap, it's for you. And to prove I actually have like more normal music taste, one of my all-time favorite bands, the Gaslight Anthem, probably not my favorite song of theirs, but it's the one that is been stuck in my head the most here recently, is Handwritten by the Gaslight Anthem. Really good, sort of a bluesy rock kind of feel to it. Highly recommend checking their stuff out. If you want to check out like an album of theirs, check out the 59 Sounds, probably their best album, but Handwritten, so good.
I dig it.
Well, Cowboys and Cowgirls, here's hopefully to seeing you on Monday with a Cowboy victory. And if you're a golf fan, Ryder Cup is this weekend. So with former Oklahoma State Cowboy Victor Hovland helping out Europe. All righty.
So wait, should we be rooting for him or against him?
I'm going to root for him. But I'm going to root for the U.S.
Yeah. Might root against Bryson DeChambeau just for the just for the joke of it. I don't know.
All righty. Well, thanks for coming out, everybody. Y'all have a good one.